The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Well, I think it's very important for there to be an inclusive arena for free speech where all. Twitter has become kind of the de facto town square. It's really important that people have both the reality and the perception that they are able to speak freely within the bounds of the law. And a good sign as to whether there is free speech is someone you don't like allowed to say something you don't like. And if that is the case, then we have free speech. And it's damn annoying when someone you don't like says something you don't like. That is a sign of a healthy, functioning free speech situation.
So that was the CEO of Twitter, the boss, the owner, Elon Musk, speaking about free speech on his newly acquired platform. It sounds somewhat ironic given the number of respected journalists who've now had their Twitter accounts suspended or banned. Accounts of tech journalists at CNN, The Washington Post, Mashable and The New York Times were suspended in quick succession on Thursday evening, including that of the Irishman at CNN, Donny O'Sullivan. Now, for some reaction to this, I'm joined by News Talk's tech correspondent, Jess Kelly. Jess, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Okay, now, I think what he's done is dumb. You know, he's making a fool of himself, but he's not a dumb man. Could you remind us how he made his money in the first place? Because it wasn't from cars. Where did he get it?
So Elon Musk has been around for quite some time. He has been involved in a number of different companies over the years. He came to light in recent years because of different projects such as Tesla, SpaceX, which we know he was heavily involved in earlier in the years, in the earlier part of his career. He made money, an awful lot of money quite early on through different projects. And he's been a serial entrepreneur, a serial investor. He has Neuralink, he has OpenAI. He has just been kind of everywhere and nowhere over the time. He was also very involved in PayPal. He was one of the original members of PayPal. And that's where he made a ton of money over time.
So that's where it all began, and it funded the other adventures, as you mentioned, in SpaceX and in Tesla cars. Tesla doing very well in the market, but I think until recently they haven't, you know, paid a dividend, and the share price was one of those that was marked as, you know, not to be depended upon. And the predictions were that once the big guys, you know, the GMs, the Fords, the Toyotas, the VWs, decided to go electric, that they could devour him. Hasn't happened yet. But there's a lot more competition out there. Anyway, so he decides to buy Twitter.
Yes, and he offered to pay way over the odds to acquire the company. At the time, it all became a bit, of an arched eyebrow conversation with a lot of people in the world of media. Some people were saying this is just bravado, it'll never actually happen. Some people were saying that he's looking to take over where news happens, because as we've documented, you know, in numerous ways, people aren't consuming news and information the same way they were many years ago. And there was thought that maybe Musk, by taking over Twitter, could become, you know, a media tycoon. But his big take on this, as you just heard in that clip, was he wanted to be about free speech. He was saying that, you know, America was losing a bit of its identity by being so worried about, you know, PC conversations and censoring conversations. So he said that he would buy Twitter, get rid of the bots, be an advocate for free speech and fix the company, essentially.
Now, he did try to wriggle out of buying Twitter. He claimed there were far more bots than Twitter itself had admitted. In other words, these phony accounts, which boosted the numbers using Twitter and therefore presumably boosted the share price. Was he right or was he wrong about the number of bots?
Well, it's still a bit of a bone of contention. Twitter was adamant that they handed over the accurate information in relation to the number of bots while the deal was still, you know, in the back and forth with the deal was going on. Musk then sort of said that they weren't being fully transparent and he wanted to back out of the deal. However, at that stage, then Twitter kind of went to, they were threatening to go to court over it, saying that, you know, he had made this proposal, they had been transparent, and he was now trying to back out of a deal. So just before this court case was due to be heard, literally within days, a deal was done and Musk took over. In relation to the number of bots, anybody who's been on Twitter since Elon Musk took over will have to have noticed the number of bots. I know in my direct messages, every single day I am getting spam messages from bots. Every tweet that I put out is being liked and retweeted by bots. So the bots, he hasn't eradicated the bots. He hasn't tackled any of the big things that he said he was going to tackle. Up until this point, the thing that we've spoken about and many journalists have spoken about most is what's happening with the blue tick. That seemed to be a fixation. That the letting go of many, many staff members around the world, and now this issue of freedom of speech on the platform, they seem to be the three big pillars upon which he's been tackling Twitter so far.
Now, the latest story about him, of course, is the suspension of the accounts of eminent journalists. And it seems to suggest that he's got a very, very thin skin.
Yeah, this is a very worrying and slightly sinister update. So you may remember, Pat, a few months ago, there was a bit of a talk about a Twitter account that was tweeting the live location of Elon Musk's planes. So wherever he was, this 20-year-old student was tweeting the location, where it was coming from and where it was going.
Yeah, and now this is in the public domain. I mean, anyone who had the wit could actually find this information. It's not top secret. You know, he's not a securocrat. He doesn't deserve any more protection than any other businessman in the United States. It's in the public domain once, you know, his aircraft is tracked and anyone can have a look.
Yeah, exactly it. So this was just a kid doing it. Elon Musk initially, you know, he's kind of changed his opinion on it quite a few times. But just as recently as last week, he was saying that, you know, he is such a free speech advocate that he's not even going to tackle this account, despite it potentially putting himself and the safety of his family in danger. However, earlier this week, that account was suspended. Then yesterday, a number of prominent journalists who you outlined at the top were also suspended. And what's interesting is that there's been no exact reasoning given for their suspension. These journalists were just told that they have been in breach of Twitter's policies. Now, I've spent this morning reading a policy that was updated by Twitter. It was published in December 22, so this month. We don't have the exact date for it, but it's a 1,500-word document. And it is all about private information and media policy. That's what it's called. And it says that you may not publish or post other people's private information without their express authorization and permission. We also prohibit threatening to expose private information or incentivizing others to do so. Now, people who've been watching this closely and trying to figure out why the journalists who've been targeted were banned, they can't quite see if it's tied to this policy. However, I do see some people speculating that Donny O'Sullivan had his account suspended temporarily because he was tweeting about a police statement, an LAPD statement, on the back of a tweet that Elon Musk made about paparazzi stalking somebody who the paparazzi thought was Elon Musk, and it wasn't. So this is all very convoluted, but it seems to be anyone who has Elon Musk's name in their mouth without it being in, you know, a singing way is now being removed from the platform.
It seems that Donny was tweeting this LAPD statement about Musk and he was suspended for that by presumably Musk himself made that kind of decision. And then Matt Binder, who's a Mashable reporter, he was tweeting about Donny O'Sullivan's suspension when his account was suspended. You know, it's kind of nonsense. Now, maybe the bots are suspending accounts. Maybe that's where we've got robotic suspensions.
No, I think, you know, I don't want to be overly cynical, but I also don't want to be overly naive here. Yesterday, Elon Musk was taking part in a Twitter Spaces, which is like a live podcast on the Twitter platform, like a radio show. Imagine that. And he specifically said that journalists aren't special and they will be treated like citizens. And doxing is doxing. So doxing is the term for the sharing of private media, private information without the person's consent. And in this very extensive policy that I just referred to a moment ago, there are some contradictory statements, but also there's a lot of room for Twitter to interpret things in a particular way that could be detrimental to journalists and news outlets using Twitter as a platform to report the news. You know, they say that they are looking to protect individuals, but they're also taking into consideration who is sharing the information and whether or not they have the consent of the person it belongs to. Now, Pat, you know, you've been in this game long enough. If, you know, there is a politician and you do a freedom of information request to get their account information or information that you could get, and you share that on your Twitter account, as a journalist in the pursuit of news and information and sharing public, you know, public interest information, you could be penalized for that. What I also find interesting is that Twitter is saying in this policy that they will take into account the intent of the person sharing the information. Now, I don't know how Twitter can decide what somebody's intent is when they're sharing information, because journalists are often doing it to share news, but how are they going to interpret if that's done maliciously or factually? And I just think this is the beginning of a very dangerous period within Twitter where we could see Elon Musk abusing his position.
Elon Musk clearly believes he's all powerful and he owns this platform, is entitled to do what he likes. But I suspect he's an engineer, I think, by background. You know, you can build a car, you need the battery and you need the axles and the monocoque construction of it or whatever, four tires and all the rest of it. You can build it and it'll go. That's it. It's very simple. But he's bought a basket full of rattlesnakes in buying Twitter. And maybe he doesn't know how to tame the rattlesnakes.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's trying to tame them or if he's trying to poke and prod them, because I've been looking, as I'm talking to you, I have his Twitter feed open in front of me and there are people giving their hot takes on what's going on, and he's just sending back laughing emojis and he's saying Twitter right now is, and then four flame emojis. So he seems to be enjoying this. And I think that this is, you know, it's very easy to just, I suppose, disregard Twitter as being a place that of no real consequence. But the reality is, it is a place of consequence. We know that politicians are utilizing the platform, journalists are utilizing the platform, whistleblowers are utilizing the platform. And for one man to be able to dictate that policy and remove users and curtail the sharing of information that's in the public interest is deeply concerning. And although a lot of people, when Musk took over and all the people were let go, were saying, you know, I'm off, I'm going to Mastodon and whatever, I actually think this moment in time is probably more concerning because we don't know what's going to happen next. We don't have eyes on who's making these calls. Is it just Elon Musk? What's happening to all of the boards that he's dissolved and the panels of experts and guidance teams that were there in Twitter for such a long time to try and ensure that it was a fair, safe platform to a certain extent? I just think that this raises a hell of a lot of questions.
Jess Kelly, News Talk's tech correspondent. Jess, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.